The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to a very special K4 Wins podcast. I am Tony Curry, 40 years in the radio industry, 25 years in sports radio, work for ESPN, Kai Gregory to my left, fantastic, has worked both sides of the fence for a long period of time, everything from handicapping to Las Vegas style, and of course, the man who is at Ground Zero in Las Vegas. The Las Vegas Sun is who he works for. He owns the place is what he's doing. He's the chief editor for all the stuff they do out there. Yeah, he is. Go check him out. Case Kiefer is the man out there in Las Vegas. Fantastic job. Obviously, a lot to talk about here as we broadcast this show here on the 17th on a Friday. We got the national championship game coming up on Monday night at 7:30, Notre Dame at Ohio State. We've got 18 championships between the two, got a couple blue bloods, but it's been a long time, really, for both of them, including Notre Dame. It's been 37 years since they've tasted that national championship placed in their mouth. And of course, we got the National Football League, Texas Chiefs, Commanders, Lions, the Rams, Eagles, and Ravens, Bills, the game of the weekend. We'll talk about that and give you some plays. Our best before the end of the show. Case, I want to start with you first. And well, before we do that, let's check the numbers out real quick, because we always love talking about the numbers. We always are very transparent around here. If you go to our website, you can see all of our previous plays. We don't take stuff down. We want people to know exactly how we're doing, but what's we're looking like? We're pretty hot, are we not?
I would say that last week, 25 and 12, had a great day yesterday and Wednesday. You look at it, I mean, year to date, we're 66, 26 and 2. So, you know, if you're just looking at units, you're up 37 units, 16 days into the new year, which is, you know, we finished last year 67%. We're actually trending a little bit better than that right now, which is just unfathomable.
That's amazing. That's great stuff. And of course, so you can find us on special outlets like networks and stuff like that, podcasts, but also, of course, wherever you get your favorite social media, you can find those numbers as well. All right, Case, little weird. I was talking about this during our show in the starting lineup with your dad, who is missing the show today. Kip will be back next weekend. And I just don't feel the groundswell of excitement for a national championship game. I know when the National Football League is going, it's all NFL. It's all we talk about. We have 2 weeks in between the AFC, NFC championship weekend, of course, the Super Bowl. And it's all you hear about. And I'm not hearing anything about college football. And I was talking to your dad. I was like, is it because Alabama's not in it? We don't have any force. We just not care about any other college football teams. That's a good point. A lot of people down here don't like Notre Dame and or Ohio State. So maybe that's a reason. Or is it because the way the games are landing because of the NFL? It's our first year. I get it. I think for the most part, it's been very successful. But they have those games on Thursday, Friday, and then I have nothing on Saturday, and then I have the national championship game on a Monday night. It just feels like there's a disconnect. What are people in Las Vegas saying about this first year of the 12-team playoff?
I think there's probably a lot of factors. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I don't hear a ton of buzz. I'm sure it's probably even more pronounced down there with no Southern team for what feels like the first time. I guess last year there wasn't either, but with no SEC team, I can see it. I will say betting-wise, it seems to be anecdotally from talking to people and seeing what people are saying, it seems to be getting a ton of betting volume, yep. Mainly because everyone sees Ohio State as a juggernaut. I think all the money's been coming in on Ohio State, especially with stuff like moneyline parlays. I've seen a ton of sports books out here put out like special moneyline parlay prices boosts on Ohio State, and teasers even. College football, usually I will always say never tease college football. Don't do this, don't do that. It's a bad idea. But, you know, a lot of people are teasing Ohio State in this game. It's right in teaser range at 8, 8.5. You can take them down to 2, 2.5. And I can't even be the one to sit here on my pulpit and say, don't do that. That's a bad bet. I still personally wouldn't do it, but it makes sense. You're going through the 3 and the 7. So I think there is a buzz for it betting wise, but I think just as far as as much as normal, I think the NFL is a big thing in the way they've taken over and had these games on all these nights. And I think the game Sunday afternoon, Baltimore, Buffalo, to me, that's the opposite for a divisional game. I think this one has so much buzz. I think if there's one football game people are talking about, it's that. I've heard people say that it could be like a de facto Super Bowl. And to be honest, I don't really disagree. I came on last week and said I love Baltimore. I would bet Baltimore futures. And it's going to sound ridiculous with the game of Kansas City coming up. This was the one game I was really worried about. I feel like I could easily see them losing this game, even though mm-hmm. I think they're the best team in the NFL, hands down, right now. So I think maybe that game's taken a lot of the bandwidth. But again, it kind of doesn't have the advantages from a betting perspective of Ohio State and Notre Dame. It's a pick on both Both ways, sports books aren't writing the money line tickets and the point spread tickets. There were some teasing possibilities actually when it opened and when it gets to 1.5. But I feel like betting wise, Ohio State Notre Dame is probably getting its share of thing. But as far as buzz and people excited about the actual matchup, I agree with you. I feel like it's kind of the same here as it is everywhere.
And that Ohio State -2.5 and under 51.5 sounds pretty good. I don't know if I do a 10-pointer, but a 6-pointer certainly sounds good for the Buckeyes. It's amazing how you can love Notre Dame, and then when you start throwing those teases in there, it can really throw it off a little bit. Guy, something I loved about having you on the show is, for the layman, we always look at the side and the over-under, maybe a money line play on occasion, but for your new player that comes in, there's been so many new people coming, they don't know about a halftime lines, they don't know about quarter plays, they don't know about the prop bets, and sometimes the value is really here, and you have found a situation where you really know your over-unders as far as in your team totals and stuff like that. What do you see in this particular game between two teams? Ohio State's beaten Notre Dame last couple games. They have not lost Notre Dame since 1936, so that may be another reason everyone's loving the Buckeyes Monday night.
There's another Tony Curry useless fact. We have to get into at least one or two of those, every week. I may throw another one of those out. I like to bring it. We're going to have to start saying it's the Kai and Curry useless facts, I think. I'm intrigued to how the game starts. Ohio State's been starting fast. We've talked about that. Another useless stat, Notre Dame's undefeated, like we talked about earlier, when Riley Leonard rushes for over 30 yards. Only game he didn't was against Northern Illinois. Something I think is going to be interesting, and we talked about it on the starting lineup, is, I think Notre Dame is going to be searching for points in this game. Ohio State has top 5 red zone defense and top 5 red zone offense. I saw a stupid stat flipping and watching ESPN, and they were talking about it. I can't remember who talked about it, that Ohio State defense averages 10 passes against them in the red zone, more than anybody else, because their rush defense is so good. Well, Notre Dame's passing offense is not great. Riley Leonard is not a great passer. He's just not. I think one of the huge keys to this game is going to be tailed down, coming down from safety and getting after Riley Leonard, getting after the rush. I think Caleb Downs is probably one of the best players in the country at coming down, getting after the run, making the tackles from his safety position. They've moved him to the middle of the field, and he's fast, and I'm probably jinxing him, but he just doesn't miss tackles. When he's there to make a play, he makes the plays. I've been super impressed with him. And I think that in this game, my favorite play is Ohio State over 13.5 in the first half. I like them -5 in the first half. I have seen some 5.5 and 6s now. But I really think Ohio State, if they jump out, this game's going to get away from Notre Dame. Notre Dame has to ball control, and I think that leans towards the under in that. But something that helps Ohio State, Notre Dame plays more man-to-man coverage than anybody else in the country. 60% of the time, they're in a man. Guess who has the highest QBR in the country against man-to-man defense? Will Howard. Mm-hmm. 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, first man this year. So you look at this, Notre Dame led the country in takeaways with 32. They're second in defense at 14.3 points per game behind who? Ohio State.
Yep.
But Mills being out, Notre Dame has lost their 4 starting defensemen in their 4-man lineup since the beginning of the year. I think Mills is the hugest loss, 7.5 sacks, 8.5 tackles for loss from him. I love Ohio State in the first half. I'm not convinced I'm going to take them for the game yet. I did last week at 7. Now it's at 8.5. But I love Ohio State.
I think it's one of the reasons a lot of people love the Buckeyes. They've gotten out of the box super fast. And if they get up 13-0, 14-0 in the first quarter, they may be a long day for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. That's the other thing, is between Trevion and Henderson, who's already had a couple of big games against Notre Dame in his career, and Jeremiah Love, between those two guys, the running game's going to have to be pivotal. I know Ohio State's really good. People talk about the secondary of Ohio State. That's fine if you're in the 30 or 35, 40-yard line inside the 20. It doesn't really make a big difference because you can't go deep. Notre Dame games, third down efficiency, though, something that people aren't talking about. 29.9% on third downs they're giving up this year. Notre Dame's been lights out, fantastic on third down. Ohio State lives in that area. They're conducting about a 42% on third down conversion rates. But when you talk about quarterbacks, Case, you're talking about Will Howard, who's got one big-ass chip on his shoulder right now. And, I mean, he is playing lights out. And then Riley Leonard, but he's got the wheels. And I saw Will make a couple of great plays with his feet. And, man, he was fired up and pumped because he don't get a chance to run the football much. The over-under on temps for Riley Leonard, 13.5 for Riley Leonard. So, I mean, a lot of people are expecting him to run the ball. That's a big piece of Notre Dame's offense. What quarterback would you take in this particular case? A guy who can run the football and throw the football decently, or Will Howard, who's on fire right now?
That's a good question. I'm more of a Riley Leonard guy, even though as far as throwing the ball, I think that, I mean, that was ridiculous. You'd have to go Will Howard. We have a season full of sample now, and I'm pretty high on this Notre Dame defense. I feel like I'm higher than most people. I think they're first in the nation in EPA per dropback. They've just found a way to, you know, get after all these quarterbacks. I know it's a different animal with Ohio State's receivers and the whole man-to-man thing tied right up. Look, there's a lot of reasons you can make a case of why Ohio State is the side here. And to be frank, and I wrote a lot about this, doesn't run till Monday, but our stuff that goes to print has to go out early. So just a plug for Monday at LasVegasSun.com if you want to dive more into my thoughts. I call, you know, right away, my initial reaction was Ohio State. I was like, okay, it's been a great college football season. I'm not going to do anything really with this last game. It was heartbreaking for me that it wasn't Texas Notre Dame, because I absolutely just would have scooped huge futures wise if that could have been the matchup. But then, you know, I had to write this column, so I had to dig into it. I had to do my usual process. And I just came out to thinking Notre Dame has, especially on the defensive side of the ball, a lot more advantages, a lot more things working in their favor than I think people are giving them credit for. I really think they are going to kind of be able to limit this offense, and especially passing wise. I don't trust Will Howard to put up another huge game. You know, I know everyone hates Penn State and clowns on their offense, but the one thing Penn State had done really well all year is, like, Aller took care of the ball a lot. They didn't turn the ball over. They played pretty smart. And I mean, they picked him off three times in reality. I know two of them got wiped off, but they had the one game clinching interception. I think Will Howard has an interception in like nine games this season. I feel like Notre Dame will be able to get one off of him. And I trust their pass defense. I don't think Ohio State's going to go up and down the field through the air. Now, the problem is running wise, I think this is going to come down to what team has the better running game. And that's like kind of blasphemy for me to say, because I always feel like the running game is overvalued in football. I think like that's a market inefficiency that some people get too hung up on. But I think here it's going to be a slow paced game. Both these teams are bottom 30 in the nation in pace, which is weird for Ohio State. If I'm Ohio State and Chip Kelly, I'm speeding it up. I want more plays to show off my talent advantage. But I just think it's going to be a slow paced game, kind of a grind. And I think because of that, I think Notre Dame can hang in there. And I think they can bother Will Howard. We'll see how they do against these running backs. But, you know, I certainly wouldn't go as far as to pick Notre Dame outright. But I thought the number was a little high last week against Texas, and Ohio State didn't really blow me away. I mean, I think we got the right winner for sure. I think they deserved to cover too, but was it a 14-point game? Probably not. And honestly, going into the playoff, I had Notre Dame and Texas about equal. Now you're getting another point with Notre Dame. So if I have to make a pick, it's Notre Dame on the point spread. But like I said, those Ohio State teasers, I get the appeal, because it's hard for me to see them losing.
No, I know a lot of people that bought Texas up to 7.5, and that was a killer. That was a bad beat for a lot of people last season. I mean, he's right there. You know, they're down to the 1 or 2 yard line to tie the football game. And next thing you know, it goes from a 7-point game to a 14-point game, and you lose, and you get backdoored or front doored, or however you get doored is what you got. Kai, I think it's really interesting too, because you know, we sit there and we look at games, and obviously there is a bias here, and I'd love to get Case's thoughts on this too. When you sit down and handicap a game, I think a lot of us go into a game right away with a side that we already like. And I think a lot of people are going into this game thinking Ohio State's going to blow the doors off this team just based on what we've seen throughout the season. With poor, you sit down and really start looking at the game. Have you ever sat down and looked at a game and you really liked a side, and then when you start looking at the numbers, you're like, wait a minute here, I'm totally missing something here. This is wrong. And then kind of pick the other side, because I think a lot of people are feeling that way about Notre Dame this year.
I think I'm that way in two of the four NFL games, to be honest. And I think the biggest mistake gamblers make is they bet with their heart and not their wallet.
Yep.
And your heart is going to really affect your wallet. I, we talked about it on the lineup. I don't like Ohio State. I don't like Notre Dame. I don't like Ryan Day. I think Marcus Freeman seems to be a really good guy. I really do. He seems to be, you know, besides the coaching aspect, in my opinion, hopefully I won't get sued for it. I just think he cares more about his players than Ryan Day does about his players. Mm-hmm. That's just a personal opinion. And I think that comes into it because it's going to be hard for me, knowing that I played Ohio State, to root against Notre Dame. So I'm not going to. Who knows if I even watch it? I think my son has a basketball tournament that day anyway. So maybe I'll be in the gym. Because I, like I said on the starting lineup, I'll be pulling for the refs.
Yeah, there you go. Case, your heart ever get you?
Not at this point. I mean, maybe early when I first moved out here, when I wasn't betting that series. I mean, I always tried to do it for money. I was never like, this is just for fun. But I used to like shut myself off and not let myself bet my favorite teams. But I don't know, just the professionalizing covering sports too. I guess I'm the jaded guy at this point. I don't care at all about that anymore. So now, if there's value against the team I like, I'm going with that. My heart is completely faded, unfortunately. This probably speaks poorly of me, but that's where I'm at. Right.
K4wins.com. K4wins.com. You can check out everything. It's a free site. Check us out. We are doing fantastic. 67% in 2024. A little higher than that in 2025. So far, we've been on fire. And, of course, I know a lot of people love the fact they got more to choose from. Like in college hoops, it's overwhelming to me when there's 100 basketball games in one night because I can't possibly look for every little nugget. I like when there's a certain number of games because I can actually look at every single one of them. I can do that with the National Football League this weekend. Two games at that weird 8.5-point line. That's why that Kansas City Chiefs game kind of scares me a little bit, because Kansas City ain't blowing nobody out, but they're winning over and over and over again. Every time I look up, it's 21-19, 21-16, 34-32. They're always winning these close games. And here I am getting the Texans plus 8.5. Seems like a little much to me, which makes me like the Chiefs a lot in this game, just because I think this line is in that nowhere land. It's that 5.5, that 4, that weird number, that 8.5. Primarily, do you have, Case, a lot of people waiting to the last second when it's that weird line, that strange weird line? It's a little too high to take one side. It's too little to not buy it up to 10 or 10.5, depending on where the number is. But what do people do at 8.5? Does it normally stick tight there at that number when it's usually posted that way?
You can see it bounce around a little bit. And I know it feels like the teaser is the buzzword of the show, but especially like the recreational sports books and the big sports books here, they're just getting flooded with teaser money. So a lot of times you'll see it bounce up to 9, 9.5, just try to give them some teaser protection. But as far as waiting till the end, I mean, it kind of shocks me that we're in this new age where everyone's betting. We have legalized sports betting. I mean, there's millions more people out in the open doing this, and yet still I'd say 95% of people wait until that right before the game to bet, which I've said I think is a mistake. But it's also just this reality. I mean, if you go to a sports book here on Saturday right before kickoff, I mean, there's gonna be people getting shut out because they don't have the app, they didn't bet for the 7 days before, and they're gonna be in line right before kickoff. So certainly I don't think no matter what the number is, you're gonna see people waiting till the last minute. It'll be interesting to see what way this goes. I think the NFL, there's so much money in all these games and have such a good handle on all these teams, and I don't think you're gonna see any drastic move, barring like some crazy injury situation, or if one global group with a ton of money feels strongly. But I think we'll probably stick right around here with these numbers. But it's interesting when you're in that 8, 8.5, 7.5 range in the back of these books' minds, especially the recreational books, are all the teaser exposure.
The other 8.5 obviously is the Lions and Commanders. You know, that dream for the Commanders has been, what a fantastic season for the rookie quarterback. And of course, now they're playing the best team in the National Football League as far as an odds go to win a championship in the Lions, -8.5. The over under 55 is not like that surprising anybody. Finally, everyone's like, they've been listening to Kai Gregory all season long, taking the Washington Commanders team total over, and of course taking the over for the game, because that 55 is the highest it's been all season long. Give me some best bets, Kai, when you're looking at the National Football League. You always got halftime lines and team totals and everything else. You got four games you can really delve into. Give me some of your best bets.
Well, that Washington game you're talking about, you know, your Montgomery's coming back for Detroit. I think that's going to be big to help them. Daniels got the best QBR rating on third and fourth down in the NFL as a rookie.
Yep.
It's pretty stout. Detroit has the best NFL yards after catch guess who's the best defense against yards after catch?
Mm-hmm.
The Commanders. Highest playoff total, Tony Curry useless stat.
Yeah, you're giving out a lot of Tony Curry useless stats this week, and I really appreciate it. It makes me feel good. You got it all lined up, brother. I love that.
Yep. Highest playoff total since the Chiefs-Bucks when it was 56. You know, it's hard to bet against Detroit, but I can't bet against Jaden Daniels. This line I see at 9 and 55.5. You know, if I had to play it right now and you pushed me, I'd probably go over, you know, and I would probably go over in the first half. But Washington's defense has been playing better, so I'm kind of sticking – I'm waiting. Unlike what Kay said, I'm waiting on that. I'm waiting on the Chiefs-Texans again because of the fact, you know, last time it was 27-19 when they played in week 16. Mixon is still listed as questionable. He's upgraded from doubtful. He's questionable. So I got to make sure that he's going to play, number one. Kansas City was 7 of 13 on their third down conversions in that last game. So are they going to be above 50% again? If they're above 50%, then they can cover. Right now I'm leaning Houston and probably under, and I would definitely go under in the first half and probably have to take Houston +6 in the first half just because, you know, the Chiefs are 7-10 versus spread this year. They're 15-2 straight up, 7-10 against the spread. And a big deal in this game, the officials for this game have thrown more holding flags than any other referee officiating crew in the NFL. 59 holding flags against them. And the Chiefs are number two in the NFL with holds against them, with 29 penalties against them for holding.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I don't know that I can pull under 41 because it was 27-19. But the Texans only sacked Mahomes once in that game. Mahomes is really good at getting away from sacks. He gets it. But who is their leading wide receiver?
Yep.
Who's the leading wide receiver for Kansas City? Well, it's not a wide receiver.
Yeah, it's Kelce.
It's Kelce. Mm-hmm. That was the most receiving yard.
By the way, that cereal sucks, by the way. This Kelce cereal sucks, by the way. Don't get the Kelce cereal. The Kelce Brothers cereals, just get the Lucky Charms. Just get the one. You don't want to put, like, frosting on top of a frosting on top of a frosting. You're already getting enough with Lucky Charms. Just go Lucky Charms. Go on. Continue.
Well, I mean, you know, he obviously his frosting is Taylor Swift. So anyway, you know, the Rams-Eagles -6. In week 12, they had 314 rushing yards against the Rams, 255 by Barkley. I don't think that's going to happen again. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think the Rams are going to go out and get 10 sacks against Jalen Hurts. But, you know, we talked about it again. I'm going to line up. You know, the Rams started out 1-4 this year. And since that, they're 10-3, including last week. And I want to get it to 7 and take the Rams all day. And there's a lot of people that are against me on that. And I'm perfectly fine with that. You know, that's my opinion. The last one, Baltimore, and we talked about this before we came on air, talking about the physicality in week 4 and how Baltimore just pushed Buffalo around. But Buffalo was missing 4 defensive starters, including their 2 inside linebackers. I love King Henry. I'm a Titans fan, and I hate the fact that they let Derrick Henry get away. But I, you know, Jalen went with Lamar in Baltimore, and with good grief, why am I missing Buffalo's quarterback's name?
Josh Allen.
Yeah. Golly. I mean, and 2 of the best running quarterbacks that are out there. And in fact, they are 1st and 2nd all time in quarterbacks rushing in postseason with 609 yards and 602 yards. If you go back and look at it, and that with boggled my mind. Everything tells me Buffalo is supposed to be better in this game and come back, and I'm not doing it. And I hope it's not a heart pick. I think Baltimore goes to Buffalo and pulls out a win.
Yeah. And again, it's unfortunate because everyone was talking about that Ohio State Oregon game as the de facto national championship. We know how that game went. I hope we're seeing a much closer game between Lamar and Josh Allen, 2 of the best quarterbacks in the league. And it's funny because my Bengals lost to the Rams in the Super Bowl several years ago, and I was never a Sean McVay fan. He's done fantastic work, Case, in the last half of the season. God, as mentioned, 10-3. I didn't really like him as I thought he was a player's coach, and he's done a miraculous job starting the season 1-4. So they're getting everything they had plus the 6. Give me some of your best bets for the weekend, and then we'll hear mine. I'd love to get your thoughts on those.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you guys are saying. I think McVay, an underrated thing is he's like constantly getting better. And I think as much as he was like a play calling guru and a players coach, like you said, he really struggled in game management. I still think he's the best in that, but they've hired some new people this year. I've talked to some people over there, some people in the NFL that if you watch, he's doing a lot better with that. He has more people in his ear. So, you know, a lot of these guys get to a level and they just kind of maintain it and that's good enough. But Sean McVay is just scary to me because he knows his weaknesses. He addresses them and just keeps getting better. All that being said, I am on the Philadelphia side here. I mean, just slightly, these NFL numbers, like I said, are so tight. When it opened 5.5, I laid 5.5 with Philly. I would still be on them at 6. At 7, that's right where I made it initially. So I certainly would back off there. I just expect a much better effort from the Eagles than we saw last week. You know, even though they won that game and covered, I don't really think they had much business doing it. I don't know how the opening kickoff fumble was upheld, and I felt like the game was over since then. But I think I said last week on the show or a couple different shows I've been on, I didn't expect Jalen Hurts to look very good coming off the concussion and having practiced like once in the last 3 weeks. I do think some of that rust will be knocked off now and he'll be a little bit better. And I still just don't fully believe in the Rams defense. I know it's promising. It's getting better too. Really young. I think they have a good future ahead of them, but I kind of feel like this is where it runs out going across the country on 6 days notice. So if it gets to 7, I would certainly pump the brakes at 6. I think the Eagles to me and Kip's not here, but of course I saw he texted, he likes the Rams. So we checked that box and we're against each other on a game there. I like the Eagles. I mentioned I'm scared about the Ravens Bills game, but I just like I can't back off my conviction that easily. I feel like the Ravens are just so much better than everyone else. I feel bad for the Bills. It just feels like they're going to have a year, one of these years, where they've been so good for so many years. It feels
so,
like
to remind you, the Bills of the 90s, right? I mean, every single year they get in the Super Bowl and it's like, what are we doing here? I mean, and I hate it for Josh Allen because I love him. I mean, I really do. I love him and I love, he's got to win a Super Bowl as a quarterback. He must. He'll be a Hall of Famer, but he must win a championship. But Lamar Jackson, man, he's having the MVP season. That's what MVPs do.
Yeah, and maybe Josh Allen just takes over this game and shows, you know, it's always a possibility that they could win this game, but I can't back off of Baltimore this easily. So I'm on the Ravens. We'll see. I think Lamar, speaking of guys that have gotten even better this year, I mean, I think Lamar, passing wise, I trust, and I always was a defender of Lamar and said he's taken too much grief, especially for his playoff performance. But if you just look at his passing numbers this year, I mean, they are just off the chart. I feel like he's taken another step there. So even if the Bills, you know, shut down Henry, like I think we both expect Derrick Henry's not going to have a game like he did last week. I trust Lamar to be able to get it done. So I'm leaning Baltimore there. I have futures on both teams, luckily, but a lot more on Baltimore. So I'm a little worried I'm going Baltimore. And shockingly, it sounds like we're kind of in agreement on these other two games. I did not bet the Houston-Kansas City game, but I do think it's just ever so slightly high. I mean, Kansas City's just not blowing people out this year. I know they're going to be a lot healthier. They deserve a boost for that, but I had a hard time getting more than 7.5 when I made the numbers. So if you absolutely have to bet all these games, I guess it would be Houston plus 8.5, but I do feel kind of stupid. I feel kind of weird as every year these buys mean a lot more than people think. I think they deserve to add a little extra in the point spread. And you look at the teams and buys, and, you know, going back years and years, how well they've performed. It's been staggering. But of course, I've picked both teams that aren't coming off the bye this week. So I picked Houston, didn't bet it. And, you know, sometimes I go back to something Kai said about not waiting, and he's already bet this game. And sometimes, the opposite. He said he is waiting. He hasn't bet it. Sometimes it is better to wait if you know the market dynamics a little bit. This is one where if you like Washington and Detroit, I would not bet it right now. I would keep waiting, see if you can get to that double digits. I already bet 10.5, to be honest. It opened 10.5 in sports books, but I know that was really tough. You had to be sitting there with your apps open at the end of the last game. I know that's not everyone, not everyone's doing that. I'm not even doing that every game. I just wanted to see what some places open. I had the number in my head at like 7.5, 8, Circa, who I consider the sharpest sports book in the world. They opened 8.5, a bunch of other books opened 10.5. I jumped on the 10.5 right away. A bet probably too big already. So I kind of feel like this is going to be close. I don't think Detroit's defense is totally fixed just because they shut down Sam Darnold. We saw how bad Sam Darnold looked in the first round. That being said, I would not settle for anything less than double digits. So I would wait. maybe bet Washington, but just know you could end up with an egg on your face. Cause I do feel like the Commanders run is going to end up at some point. I feel like they're getting lucky in a lot of regards, but I kind of like this matchup for them. I feel like defensively, they're going to keep everything in front of them. They're not going to give up big plays. And I feel like they'll probably hang around and cover. I mean, the absolute dream would be if they somehow knock off Detroit and upset them outright. Cause I don't care who they would play next week. I would be loading up on whoever they played next week. Like I said, I feel like the Washington thing's a little fluky, going to run out, but I kind of like this matchup for them. So if it gets back to 10, I would advise a bet on Washington.
Bye is big in the National Football League. Not so much in college, by the way. All four teams lost who had the bye in the college football playoff series. We talked about the heart thing too, and then we're going to let it fly here. But you know, this is one of those things where I just feel like heart means something at this level in the National Football League. I know it probably doesn't. It probably comes down to skill, winning your box, and all the things that, you know, you're looking one play at a time. The Chiefs minus 8.5 just seems like it's way too big, and that's why I'm going to take the Chiefs minus 8.5. I see them winning by 10. I think it's going to be super close. The Lions Commanders, I'm going to leave it alone just because I think Jaden Daniels has been just a miraculous quarterback. He has done everything that I thought he couldn't pull off in his first season, and he's doing it now against the best team in the National Football League. I'm probably just going to get kick back and enjoy that game. Rams and Eagles, it's a very interesting stat, and this is a Tony Curry stat, but you've been throwing out more numbers out to your ass than you've ever thrown out, Kai. But quarterbacks coming out of concussion protocol this year in the first 2 weeks, 12-4 against the spread after the first two games after concussion protocol. So we saw it with Tua Tagovailoa. We saw it with Jalen Hurts. These quarterbacks coming out, we're thinking, oh, they're going to be going after this guy. And let me tell you what, they're lighting it up. When they come back, they're healthy. They're doing really well. And certainly the Ravens.
Hurts didn't light it up. Hurts was terrible last week.
Oh, yeah.
Vegas is throwing out some of the dumbest stats to get people
sure
to
they bet are.
On games.
But I mean, you know, I don't care how bad he plays. If I've got extra wallet pad, you know, I'm good. I mean, it doesn't matter. And then that Ravens Bills game, I'm gonna have to go Josh Allen. I mean, I'm just going hard because that's one of those things where I'm an AFC North guy. I hate Baltimore. I hate the fact they beat my Bengals 35-34 this year, and I'm hoping to win it all. I'm gonna take both sides. I want to push everything on Josh Allen. All they got to do is win the stinking football game, and I'm gonna be a winner chicken dinner. So I'm gonna go for it. We're gonna be back.
Yeah, very cold and windy up there, so that's
it's cold windy.
A lot of run and a lot of clock management.
It's January. It's cold everywhere. All right, guys. K4Wins.com. K4Wins.com. Thank you very much.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.